Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. We are in Luke chapter 10, around verses 21 and 22. Get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and join us, please.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
It says someplace in the Bible.
It's in the Proverbs, I believe.
The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And if I stand fast in the word of the Lord, I will be with him at last, at last, at last. The commandment is a lamp. The law is the light. The reproofs of instruction are the way to life. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And if I stand fast in the word of the Lord, I will be with him at last, at last, at last.
Luke 10, 21 through 22. Do we want to read 17 through 20 as a get back into the flavor of things? So 17 through 22.
Now the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. And he said, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Lo, I have given you the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that your spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the heavens. In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and understanding, and did reveal them to babes. Yea, Father, so it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been delivered to me of my Father, and no one knows who the Son is save the Father, and who the Father is save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son wills to reveal him. And turning unto the disciples, he said privately, Bless the eyes which see what things you see, for I say to you that many prophets and kings desired to see what things you see and saw not, and to hear what things you hear and heard not.
So this was not stated that way in Luke. This is a mate scripture from Matthew 13, verses 16 and 17, and it just says, Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. But in Luke 10, it says, Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, he said this privately to them. And we're taking it that he said it to the 70, not just like the 12 apostles, but these are the 70. This is about those 70 disciples that he sent out two by two. Anything you feel impelled to talk about in this context, or go to the next one?
Well, I do. I noticed he said that all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him. He also says in Matthew 28:18, when he's talking to his disciples, this is after he returned, after being crucified, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's a all is a pretty big word, and in heaven and on earth, there's nothing excluded. He has all authority given to him by his Father.
And nobody knows the Father but Jesus, and Jesus is the only one that knows the Father. We have to get into that circle. We've got to get into that circle, and the only way we can, it starts with knowing the Son, but it says no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him.
This isn't a figure it out on your own situation. It has to be revealed to us through Christ. That's a pretty big statement.
You can't find God. He has to be revealed to you.
By the Son.
So it's not an individual going, "Well, I found God." No, he has to be revealed.
And vice versa.
Yes.
I can't let go of this. He says the same thing in Matthew.
Exactly.
11, he said. Yeah.
Exactly the same thing.
Yep. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son wills to reveal him." So,
and he uses the same words in Matthew 11, and these are the words written in Luke. "You hid them from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to babes."
Where are you there?
That's in the Luke verse 21, or
in the prior verse.
Matthew 11, where it says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Previous to that, it says he reveals things. He hides them from the wise and the prudent and reveals them to babes. That same statement is made over in Matthew chapter 11.
So it shows a requirement. What do we have to become?
Children.
Gaga goo.
Yes.
And he just said those were the greatest in God's kingdom as well. We read earlier.
Got to start over again, lest we are born from above. So birth means you're going to be a what?
It means you're going to be a baby.
Yeah. A baby.
A baby.
At one time.
A birth. You can't get here with birth without being a baby.
You don't come out of the womb an
like
adult.
Five, six.
Yeah. You got to start over.
Wear shoes or something. No, yeah. Wait.
And the term is not born again. It's born up. But still, it's. I can see why they say born again. I mean, that's not an untruth, but it's not saying the right thing. And yes, we have to be born as a baby. We have to come as a baby, but we are actually born up. You know how a baby falls on the ground when he's born? Your birth is, as soon as you die, you come up out of the water and you go up, and the kingdom of the heavens is open to you. Now, where is that? It's not on earth.
It's not on earth.
You're part of a new kingdom that is not stuck with gravity. Look at the mess. Do you really like this anymore? What's on the earth? As a kid, you think this is pretty fun. It wasn't so bad in the 50s and 60s. It wasn't quite so bad. It was still not, wasn't perfect. They still had drugs back then. They still had problems back then. They still had murder. It wasn't so rampant. And it says in the last days, perilous times will come and wickedness will increase. But this new birth is, it's brand new. Oh, by the way, it's appointed for men to die once. And let's say you die, which really happens. In the rebirth, you die and are born again. There's the death, to never die again. So when you are born from above and you're born up, That's the only death you will taste. And isn't that a lot better than croaking, you know, gasping for air, or the last breath, or, you know, struggling, you know, dying of cancer, or any kind of death, even just passing away, dying, that can be taken care of easily. And at the same moment, you become a new child, you get a new name. Your heart is circumcised to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength. Here's an invitation by God. Why will you die? Isn't that a question by God? Why will you die, oh man?
And so when you expire or you're no longer here, it says you sleep.
To the one who has already died.
Yes.
It's already fulfilled that.
Yeah, it's
and
you
died.
Sleep. It's not to die then.
And what do you think it'd be like to die alone? I think people are afraid to die alone without anybody in this world, without anybody present. And with this death, Jesus says, when you go through the water, I will be there. This death is you're actually sloughing off the old man and all the sin that's involved with it, and you're born anew. And when you go through the water, he says, I will be there. And then in the other place, why will you die? Why will you die alone? Why will you die forever? Everybody got really quiet there. I'll bet you're quiet too. The people listening to this are probably quiet
right
now.
Sobering.
How about being born anew, a baby, and walk with God in eternity? Then he turned to his disciples and he said privately, blessed are your eyes, for they see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And then starting again in verse 25, context being 25, it goes all the way, looks like to 37. I don't see any breaks. Okay.
And lo, a certain lawyer stood up and made trial of him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God from thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole strength and with thy whole mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus made answer and said, A certain man was going down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down on that road, and seeing them, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite also, coming to the place, and seeing him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and seeing him, had pity, and came to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow he took out 2 shillings and gave to the innkeeper and said, Take care of him, and whatever you spend more, when I come back again, will repay thee. Which of these 3 thinkest thou proved neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers? And he said, He who showed him mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, Go and do thou likewise.
This is that place where we started talking about before in Matthew, way back in Matthew, in the chapter that we learned that Jesus is the king, and it's a new kingdom called the kingdom of the heavens. And this is, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Which commandment is first of all, in Mark, was asked. Behold, lawyer stood up and said, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? These 3 questions were asked in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Jesus answered the same for all of them. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Teacher, which is the first of all? Jesus answered. And a lawyer says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says this to all of them, "You shall love the Lord your God in all your heart, in all your soul, and in all your mind." And we found out that it looks like Matthew, because we're learning from the beginning, we're just brand new babes. The love of God needs to fill our heart. Love God in all your heart. It needs to fill all my mind, and it needs to fill all my soul and my mind. And then one of the scribes came to him and says, "Which commandment is first?" And now we're learning servitude, and we should be full. The love of God should be full in my heart, fully in my soul, fully in my mind. And here we get to Mark, and the Lord has said, "And you shall love the Lord your God," because it's full now out. It should be so full, now you're pouring that out to others. You're going to help others out. Out of all your heart, out of all your soul, and out of all your mind. And he adds, out of all your strength. And then here in Luke, Jesus comes as a Son of Man, and he's doing this because he is God incarnate. He is God here on earth, and he says, "You shall love the Lord out of all your heart, out of all your soul, out of all your strength, and out of your mind," all of your mind, all of your mind. No reservations. You know, it's interesting, that word "all" is in all of them. So that means there's nothing of your heart should be reserved for thinking of other things, or your mind or your soul or your flesh. It should be wholeheartedly, and then it should be given to others out of you wholeheartedly. Both of them from then on, wholeheartedly. And it adds strength. Before, we wouldn't have strength to do any of it. That progression is really obvious in that one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then in this one, the lawyer trying to justify himself.
Well, I had something to ask Dan. Dan, did you see the point that Gil was making there? He didn't. Maybe if you said it with the Greek word, it'd be more profound, because it was really profound to us the other day when we learned this.
Matthew 22, 34 through 40. "You shall love the Lord your God in all your heart," in, like endovasculars inside, "in all your soul, and in all your mind." From then on, now that your heart is full, you've learned to be a servant, you've been to instruction, learn how to wait on tables. Now go out and sell it wholeheartedly, young man. And now it says, "You shall love the Lord your God out," ek, a root of ek.
Pouring out.
Pouring out of all your heart. Pouring out with all of your soul. Pouring out with all of your mind. Oh, by the way, and all your strength.
Which you didn't even have that strength mentioned the first time. So this is showing that latter effect of going from Matthew to Mark to Luke, and now all of a sudden, all of this is coming out of you, and strength is coming out of you, and it wasn't even mentioned before. That's what we learned the other day, and we're like, really? So I didn't know if, in just saying it, if you saw that like that.
I didn't see it until
okay,
just now.
I didn't think so, because you didn't react. I was watching you to see you react. And we didn't see it either. It was something that was just shown to us a couple days ago.
So that's the first, is to get it filled. So a person comes into the fellowship, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, but he has to learn to walk in the Spirit. He has to learn about the fruit of the Spirit and the lust of the flesh. He's going to have battles that go on, and he's going to have to push those lusts of the flesh out and let the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit grow and remain. So here you're—
laying a foundation is part of that.
And grow, just starting, and grow, and grow in the fruit of the Spirit. You can see where that wall—we've drawn pictures— where you see that that wall is going out and the flesh is becoming smaller and smaller.
The wall of fire going this way.
And out of his heart will flow rivers
of living water.
That's where this wells is out of. This is the out of living water.
And I have a note in here, wells of living water, after this next one. Anyway, and then in Luke again, and you shall love the Lord your God, he continues, out, a form of ek, out of all your heart, you shall love the Lord your God, out of all your soul, out of all your strength. He puts strength there in that order, and then out of all your mind. Does Panna do the same order?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he put strength and then mind last.
That's right.
That's the difference, mind and strength in Mark, and now it's strength and mind.
Now, why is he doing it? I don't know why he changed
it. Andy, answer that. Dan, answer that. I need to
Weren't
know.
Weren't they both out?
Because the strength comes from, you know, it needs to be trained first. So
with
it's
some
more
rule,
like,
with some order
it's more
about
like
it.
Yeah, it's more like you've been trained here.
So the strength has to be greater than your mind. Isn't that that is something in that, isn't that?
Yeah.
It didn't come first. Yeah. Strength didn't come first. That's what I was thinking.
Wow.
You know where it says add to your wisdom this and add this and add all these additive things. This is something that it's changing position. Strength is changing position here.
Now, let's take what we learned here about loving God out of all, you know, first in and then out of. Now, let's read this next one about Martha and Mary. This might add some light to this. 38 through 42.
Now, as they went on, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman, Martha by name, received him into the house. And she had a sister called Miriam, who sat at the feet of the Lord and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she came up and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but few are needful. Or one, for Miriam hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her.
Isn't that funny that that context is after what we just read about loving God out of all your heart, out of all your soul, out of all your strength, and out of all your mind?
So it's a good example of someone doing that and someone not doing that in the same picture. And Jesus said, this is the good part she chose. She judged it rightly. Her judgment, her mind was judging things.
She had distractions. Did it say she was distracted? Yes.
Yes. You're anxious and troubled and many things, about many things.
I think this is talking about the same thing. This is a person that is not the wall of love. Is She's worried about details, you know, the cups aren't all washed or, you know, whatever.
She was distracted with all her preparations.
Much serving.
Yeah, much serving. The logistics of what's going on and not the meaning of what's going on.
You mean like Jesus being there?
Yeah.
It didn't seem like you see them eating a lot together. Did it seem like them walking with Jesus, they skip some meals? Does it ever seem like that?
I'm thinking.
Because how many times do you hear that they hungered? And it appears like things were not always clockwork in the eating department and because of service. I've got that actually after reading these Gospels that they hungered, so he had them sit down, and they had very little food, and then it expanded. How many times do you actually see them eating together in here versus all the ministering? It didn't talk a whole lot about that, does it? If we logged in every time they ate and put a dinner plate, you know, like a little dinner plate symbol in your Bible. I wonder how many dinner plates we would.
they had one major meal I can remember.
Yeah, fed 5,000?
No.
Oh.
The last meal.
The Last Supper.
That one is now reclining and eating that. Okay, but do you see, how many times have you seen that picture?
So big view, like starting Matthew, one of the first things he taught in Matthew was don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to drink. And now we're seeing it later on in Luke. They're practicing that.
Yeah, worry that you're filled with this in all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. They might have eaten one meal a day. I don't know. We tend to center our lives around food. We kind of still do. I eat less than I've ever eaten. I eat one meal a day, sometimes two. But I'm older. I'm not young and active. So I wouldn't judge it by that. I'm just older and I don't eat as much as I used to.
It's showing that the preparations of all those things aren't the important part of it. It's listening to Jesus' message is what's important. It doesn't matter if you ate or not.
I think the preparation, you hit the nail on the head, Dan. It's not the eating. I think that trying to make it
just so.
Yeah. Because it was bread and fish a lot.
And where was Mary? At Jesus' feet, listening. That was her preparation. I'm going to get here. I'm going to sit at his feet, and I'm going to listen.
The eternal food. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. She has chosen the good part.
Boy, is the world full of distractions in today's times.
We have time to read one more context, 11:1-4.
And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that as he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you be praying, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone indebted to us, and bring us not into temptation.
So we have to learn how to pray. So our prayer is to the Father, and of course we know it's we're to pray through the Son, through Jesus Christ, but we are praying to the Father. And we are to treat his name as holy. And we pray for his kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And our daily bread is the Bible. Well, we've run out of time again. And join us again, please, tomorrow or next week. And we'll, until that time, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.